Let's pray. Gracious Father, we ask this morning that you would open our hearts and minds so that we could hear the voice of your Spirit speaking to us today. We ask this in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. This morning, once again, I've been trying to control some things from here. I do have a few slides. Some of you gave me feedback that you liked having a few slides up there, so we'll try that again today till technology fails us. This morning I want us to look closer at the epistle reading that we heard Fiona read, that passage of Paul talking to the Thessalonians. And one of the things when it comes to Paul's letters is that most of them are written as answers to questions that have been raised or addressing problems that the various churches have had. So, in some sense, these letters from Paul are a bit like hearing half of a conversation. We're hearing his answers or him addressing a problem that others have raised the church is facing. And in this particular passage, the thing he seems to be answering is the question, and it's a big question: what happens to Christians who have died? We're looking, this is a very early letter, because it seems that death within the church is a reasonably new thing. So that puts it pretty early in the life of the church, or at least in the life of the Thessalonian church. They have heard the good news about Jesus. They have put their trust in Jesus. They come together and worship Jesus together. They share this good news with those they work with, those they encounter. They are his church there in Thessalonica. And they look forward, as we said when we confessed the creed just recently, they look forward to Jesus coming again, when he will come in power. And they have looked forward to that together. But some have died. Now, I think we probably all here have experienced that, haven't we? These people, our loved ones, now we can talk about family, but we can talk about our Christian family as well. Those we have walked with in faith. Those who we have worshipped with in faith, who are no longer there. And that hurts. What about them? So whilst this was a burning question to those way back in the first century, and logically so, it's still a question that we have at times. And maybe it's still something that the evil one whispers in your ear at times. Oh, those who have gone, they're lost. What does Paul have to say about this here? So let's have a look again at the passage. And this is a slightly different translation. Brothers and sisters, we do not want you to be uninformed about those who sleep in death, so that you do not grieve like the rest of mankind. Please note there, he's not saying that Christians don't grieve. He's saying our grief should be a little bit different. Okay, so just bear in mind there, it's not saying that grief shouldn't be a part of who we are. It's saying that it should be different. Because the rest of the world, the rest of mankind, who have no hope. For we believe that Jesus died and rose again. And so we believe that God will bring with Jesus those who have fallen asleep in him. According to the Lord's word, we tell you that we who are still alive, who are left until the coming of the Lord, will certainly not precede those who have fallen asleep. For the Lord himself will come down from heaven with a loud command, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trumpet call of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. After that, we who are still alive and are left will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so we will be with the Lord forever. Therefore, encourage one another with these words." Paul's actually got a tough job here. He's trying to explain Christ's return, isn't he? What it's going to be like when we come to the end of this age between Jesus' first coming and his second coming. And the words are difficult. Why? Imagine you have a friend who has been blind since birth. How would you explain to them the colour blue? How would you? Now I'm talking about someone blind from birth, not someone who has lost their sight. How do you explain the differences in colour? Believe it or not, there are some actual ways to do this. One of the educational approaches that is often used is to describe colours in the sense of by using sounds. That red is loud and blue is softer. You know, to almost make colour like music, and therefore describing beauty using music and sound, because blind people, most blind people can hear, you're relating it to something they understand. But it's still not the same, is it? It's difficult to explain the heavenly realm, what it's going to be like when we go to be with Jesus, is a similar thing. In Scripture, we need to be honest and point out that we don't get a lot of explanation. We often get pictures of, we will go to the clouds to be with him. Revelation has a lot of imagery, especially at the end of a new heaven and a new earth. We have Paul elsewhere talking about that Jesus will suddenly appear, as though the veil between heaven and earth will be removed. But what does that all mean? It is stuff that's hard for us to wrap our heads around. And Paul is not giving us a lot of explanation, but we need to look at what it is that he's telling us. Because he's saying here that this is encouragement. This is what we can encourage one another with. Now, we go back to the beginning of what Paul is saying here. And he compares us, those who put their trust in Jesus, he compares us to the rest of the world, saying that the rest of the world has no hope. So what's he talking about there? One of the things that is a bit of a problem is in our language, English is a wonderful language, it's a dynamic language, all languages that are living dynamic languages change over time. When we say hope, it's often hope to see you there, hope you have a good day, hope my team wins, hope it doesn't rain or does rain, depending on what you're doing, whether you're harvesting, whether you're having a picnic, what you're doing. Our hope is almost like just a wish, isn't it? But don't get our usage of hope confused with the biblical picture of hope. It is nothing wishy-washy. Christian hope is an expectation, and it's assured. It's something that you are confident in. Our hope is akin to when I say, I hope the sun will rise tomorrow morning. It's not that I think it won't. It's that I've had 60 plus years of seeing every morning the sun rises. Well, it doesn't, does it? The earth rotates. The sun doesn't stay still. It moves around. let's not get into all the technicalities, but from my perspective, it rises every morning, doesn't it? And therefore, when I expect it to rise tomorrow, it's based on a whole lot of evidence. And our hope, our Christian hope, is based on, Paul says here, on Jesus' death and resurrection. Have a look at what he says here in verse 14. This comes straight after mankind has no hope, back in verse 13. For, so he's developing his argument, for we believe that Jesus died and rose again. And so we believe that God will bring with Jesus those who have fallen asleep in him. Why do we have confidence that those who have died, our brothers and sisters in Christ who have died, are being looked after, that they are with Jesus? Because Jesus died and rose again. That is our foundation. That's the foundation of our hope. It's in who Jesus is. It's in what Jesus has done. You take away his death and resurrection, and the Christian hope falls apart. If you don't believe that, go and read 1 Corinthians 15. Paul makes a big argument there, that if the resurrection never happened, if it was just a fancy story somebody told, the whole of Christianity is a joke. But because it did happen, that is what our hope is based on. And because our hope, our faith, is based on Jesus, based on his life and death, we have confidence that those who have died, and notice the imagery he uses for died is sleep. Because they are asleep in Christ, they are just away from us for this time being. But have no fear. They are with their Lord and Saviour. They are with Jesus. And when Jesus comes again, he won't be coming alone. They will all be with him because they are his church as we are his church. It is all the one body of Christ. The other week we had All Saints Day. That's the 1st of November every year. Last Sunday, rather than talking about All Saints Day, we talked about the Reformation. But one of the things that I find very valuable about All Saints Day, of course, it's a day where we remember those who have gone to be with our Lord. Those brothers and sisters in Christ who are no longer with us. And often candles are lit, etc., for that. But one of the other aspects of All Saints Day is to remind us that when we come here into God's presence, when we hear his word, when we worship, we don't do this alone. It is not just us here in this church. It's also all the other churches in Esperance, isn't it? The body of Christ is not just those who call themselves Lutheran, or even less, those who happen to meet in this particular room. They're all those who put their faith in Jesus. But it's not just Esperance, is it? It's all those throughout the world who meet to hear God's word, to sing his praises, who put their faith in Jesus. We're all doing that as part of the body of Christ. But All Saints says it's even more. It's also all the saints, all our brothers and sisters who have gone on before us, continue to join in that worship. because they are still a part of the body of Christ. Because death cannot separate us from Jesus, can it? Death, as Paul says back again in 1 Corinthians 15, death has lost its sting. The death of our Christian brothers or sisters hurts. We do grieve. But we're not grieving for them. Who are we grieving for? Us. Because it's not good that they're not here anymore. I miss being able to do that with them. I miss their company. I miss their good humour. I just miss seeing their face. And that is still part of our life here in this fallen world. We as Christians will grieve the loss of those who have gone before us. But we see it as that. They have gone before us. They are the lucky ones. They are the ones with their Lord and Saviour. Notice what Paul says in verse 17. After that, he's talked about that those who are asleep in Christ, they will be with Christ when Christ returns. They will be with him. After that, we who are still alive and are left will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. Now, we need to be careful that we're not making too much of the meeting up in the clouds. What does that mean? What's he describing here? Yes, you can go and have a look and do a nice study about all these things. But we actually have people writing whole book series about Christ returned. Yet, as you can see here, not a lot of information here about what's happening. Don't get wrapped up in sidetracks, in speculation. One of the things Luther warns about is that we don't get so concerned about what's happening in heaven, what God is like. You know, he felt that the church in his time, and this is the scholarly part of the church at his time, got so wrapped up in questions that they were developing for each other. And yes, they literally argued about how many angels can fit on the head of a pin, that they're getting into domains that are not our domains. He argued, and we mentioned this last week, that if you want to know God, if you want to know God better, if you want to see the face of God, turn to Jesus. Turn to the scriptures, God's word, where he reveals to us more and more about Jesus. It's always about him. Sometimes we get mistaken that our hope is all about that one day we go to be in heaven. Now, I'm not denying that, but I think that's putting the emphasis in the wrong place. The emphasis should be, as I've bolded up there, is the end of this verse. And so we will be what? With the Lord forever. What is so glorious about our hope? Yes, I have no doubt heaven will be a wonderful place. The new heaven and the new earth will be fantastic. No more suffering, no more tears, no more sin, no more evil. All that's wonderful. But in many ways, that's the bonus, that's the icing. What is really the focus, the foundation of our hope is that we get to be with Jesus forever. And nothing will separate us. Nothing can separate us from Jesus now. Death cannot separate us. When we die, we go to be with him. When he returns, we all join together to be with him. To be, that is the true glory, the true blessing of putting our faith in Jesus. This is what Jesus has done for us. So for those of you, and I know this applies to myself as well, who still have grief for those who have gone by. Grief isn't something that just disappears overnight. My bub, who was very devoted to her Lord, passed away way back in 96. There are still times when I would really like to talk with her about something. There are times I miss having her around. But I know she is with her Saviour, who is also my Saviour, who is also our Saviour. And that one day I will be with the Lord in the same way that she is with the Lord. Yes, Jesus is with me in the here and now as well. That's what Lord, I'm not just waiting for the future to be with Jesus. He's with me now. But it's going to be even more so in the future. And yes, we will be with those of our brothers and sisters who have gone before. But once again, that is not the prize. That's the extra. The prize, the thing we're really seeking, is to be with Jesus. And we get to be with those who have gone before us. Let me conclude. We're just looking at the last four verses from the Message Bible. The Message Bible is a paraphrase, and sometimes he gives quite a nice telling. I especially like the way he puts the Psalms. The Psalms are really good in the Message. But just have a listen to this, and we'll finish with this. And then this: we can tell you with complete confidence, we have the Master's word on it, that when the Master comes again to get us, those of us who are still alive will not get a jump on the dead and leave them behind. In actual fact, they'll be ahead of us. The Master himself will give the command. Archangel thunder, God's trumpet blast. He'll come down from heaven, and the dead in Christ will rise. They'll go first, then the rest of us, who are still alive at the time, will be caught up with him into the clouds to meet the Master. Oh, we'll be walking on air, and then there will be one huge family reunion with the Master. So reassure one another with these words. Amen. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May you be assured that those who have gone before you, who have their faith in Jesus, you will be with them again one day, because you will be with Jesus. Amen. We now have our next song, and during this time, your free will offering will be here.